Last winter, Ken and I went down to a pond in the middle of a town and had a look at some of the birds that were there. There were some ducks, but they were very odd-looking ducks.
A bit wet down here.
Just a tiny bit.
Quite smelly as well.
Quite unpleasant, really. Dead plastic sack there.
There's
lots of rubbish.
Yes, bits of plastic, and there's all these bubbles of horrible smelly gas coming up as we walk through it as well. It's quite an extraordinary place. Well, while we're here, this is really fairly exceptional, isn't it? It's a bit better than the average sort of town birdwatching site, isn't it?
I suppose so, because we've got a low shingle beach, which attracts a few other birds besides the gulls, a few wading birds like bedshank, and we've seen ring plover.
The other thing I've noticed here is that we got very close to the birds. Why don't they all fly away?
I think really the answer to that is that they're used to people. People come down here to feed them. I think there's a lady on the bridge at the moment throwing bread out to the ducks. The gulls and the ducks, the swans, are all quite used to large numbers of people wandering past.
Well, I suppose the ducks are the biggest attraction for most people who come here. They're rather peculiar looking ducks, Ken. Coming from the Wildlife Trust, I don't think I've seen any quite like these for a long time.
Yes, they're an unusual selection, aren't they? There's one or two that actually look like mallard ducks, and that's really what they all are. They're variations on the mallard theme.
But some of them are as big as geese.
Yes, some of them are quite large, aren't they? They're domestic ducks gone back to the wild, feral ducks, I suppose. Look at these big black ones with the white breasts.
Oh, yeah, yes, I recognise the shape, and they're really fat underneath, aren't they? Just heard a few of them calling, and there was a dog came along the bank. It's interesting how they all react to the dog. Can you explain what they're doing, Ken?
Yes, they're making a noise to warn other ducks that the dog's there, but if you watch them, you'll see them swim quite close to the bank. They seem to like to keep their eye on the dog. Of course, the dog, I suppose, reminds them of a fox, a predator. They like to keep the predator in view.
But these ducks have probably never seen a fox, have they?
I don't know. Foxes are quite common in this part of the world. They may have seen one.
Wildfowl, that's ducks, geese and swans, are quite different in several ways from most other birds. Around the town pond, you're not likely to see a great many different kinds. So if we just think about mallards, representing the ducks, and the mute swan, representing all the swans, and the Canada goose, we can perhaps see how they're quite different from other birds. Well, all three of those birds are members of the wildfowl family. That's all the ducks, geese and swans. Wildfowl don't feed their young. The ducklings, goslings and cygnets have to feed themselves from the day they hatch. So they spend about twice as long in the egg as most other birds, so that when they hatch, they're quite grown up and able to feed themselves. With ducks, it's only mum who looks after the young. If you think about that mallard drake with his green head and his white collar and his yellowy bill, if he went and sat on the nest, then the foxes and stoats and weasels would soon find it. So he doesn't help his wife, and the duck sits on the eggs on her own. Of course, with geese and swans, where the sexes look alike, then they can both help to raise the young. And generally, geese and swans stay together for life. It's quite interesting, everybody thinks that all ducks go quack. But in fact, mallards are the only ones that really go quack, and those domestic ones which are bred from mallards. And even then, there are differences between the sexes. Here's the male with his rather quiet sort of and now you can hear the female, who makes a really noisy quack. And the sounds that you get from swans are really rather small. I expect you can identify what this sound is. That's right, it's the sound of the swans flying. It's the sound of the wind going through their feathers. Now, our swan is called a mute swan, and that means it's not supposed to make any noise at all. It's supposed to be dumb. But when they get angry, they make quite a fierce hissing sound. Now that mute swan nearly swallowed the microphone. Geese are very noisy and make these very clamorous calls. So here's our Canada geese. This is at the Wildfowl Trust at Arundel, and there's a flock of Canada geese coming in. All the ducks, geese and swans have webbed feet. But they're not the only birds with webbed feet. Perhaps you can think of some more. Think of birds that live around the water or at the seaside. They also don't build very good nests. They never carry nesting material in their beaks. So they usually drag in whatever's near them, and then they add to it a lining of their own feathers, which they pull out. And then they sit on their eggs, as I said earlier, for quite a long time, so that when they hatch, the little ducklings and goslings and cygnets can feed themselves. On your town pond, as well as having these mute swans, mallards and Canada geese, if you're lucky, you've probably got moorhens and coots about. Now, they're very shy, and as soon as you appear, they dash off into the reeds. But these are very nice to contrast with the ducks, geese and swans, because they're quite different. They haven't got webbed feet. The coot's feet have got sort of flaps of skin around them, but they don't actually join together. So the coots can dive for vegetable food on the bottom, but they haven't got the webbed feet that the wildfowl have got. Also, they build really nice, neat, tidy nests, woven out of the reeds. And the male and female both look after the young, and they feed their young. Now here, we've got a family of little coots, little tiny black fluffy balls, with bald heads. That's how we get the phrase "as bald as a coot." And mum and dad are feeding them, but along comes a moorhen and gets in the way. Did you hear the moorhen being chased off at the end there? They're just the same if a mallard duck comes along as well. There you heard the coot calling in triumph as he'd sent that mallard off on its way. Swans and geese normally only rear one brood of young in a season. Ducks will quite often rear two. Moorhens and coots quite often rear three broods of young in a year. And sometimes the big brothers and sisters will babysit their tiny baby brothers and sisters in the second brood. And sometimes they'll even sit on the eggs for mum. I think they're very interesting birds. Moorhens particularly are rather nice looking things. Although they're predominantly black and brown, they've got a lovely white sticky up tail, the underside of the tail is white, and they look like little clockwork models going across the pond as their neck stretches backwards and forwards when they're swimming across. She's got a red and yellow beak, the moorhen, and also bright yellow legs, yellowy green legs, with little red garters at the top, which looks as though they're holding her stockings up. They do have a black mark against them, and that is that they're terrible egg thieves. So those are the most familiar birds you'll get around the pond, in perhaps a village pond or the town pond, perhaps in the park. Canada geese were introduced into this country probably over 100 years ago now, but they're really spreading well now, and they're becoming quite familiar birds. I believe even mute swans were introduced into this country hundreds of years ago to provide food, especially around the monasteries and also for the court. And of course, swans are thought of as royal birds. So swans and Canada geese are doing very well in this country. At least they are on the whole. Mute swans are very often on ponds where people go fishing, and they love to beg the bread off the fishermen and off the public. And quite often, as a reward, they end up with a fishing hook in the leg or even in the mouth. And the fishermen get very upset about that, but not nearly so upset as the swans get. But fishing has caused other problems for swans. None of the ducks, geese or swans have any teeth like you or I. And in order to help them digest their food, they have grit, which they swallow, and they keep in their neck in a place called a gizzard. And as the food passes through, it's ground up by this grit. Now, a lot of ponds haven't got much grit around them. They're muddy. But often there's a lot of spilt lead shot, the little weights that the fishermen use, called split shot, are made of lead. And they're lying in the mud where they've been dropped. And the birds pick them up and swallow them, thinking that they're grit. Then these are slowly ground down with the food, and two or three pellets will kill a swan of lead poisoning. So that's been a problem, especially on the rivers and ponds where lots and lots of fishermen go. Now, I know the fishermen don't do it on purpose, and they're trying to sort this out so that they don't poison the birds anymore. The Royal Society for Protection of Birds and the Wildfowl Trust are working together to try and solve this one with the fishermen and also with the shooting people, because people who shoot at birds fire lots of lead shot into the air, and most of the shot that they fire misses and lands in the water or in the mud. And then it's picked up by the birds, who still die by being lead poisoned. All over the world, marshes and lakes are disappearing or being polluted. And ducks, geese and swans are particularly threatened. Not only are they shot at, but they're having the places they live destroyed around them. And so the Wildfowl Trust is working very hard to try and save all the ducks, geese and swans that are threatened in the world. One of the swans that comes to Britain, but only in the winter, and you don't see them in towns very much, is the Bewick swan. And in order to find out more about them, we at first started putting rings on their legs so that we could tell them apart. But you know, we didn't need to do that, because somebody once discovered that you could tell them all apart anyway. All their faces were different. And now, about 3,600 of them have been given names. And here are some Bewick swans that have come all the way from Siberia to spend the winter down here in Sussex.